With more on the golf scene, we go down the Gray Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline and chat with our good buddy Adam Stanley. Adam, it's been too long since we chatted. How are you, my friend?
I know, too long. I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Great. Fun to have the PGA season back with the names that we recognize, not the schmoes with the sprinklings of somebody's that we saw fall. And while many of us are into our fantasy golf, our one-and-dones, it was pretty cool to see a big field of Canadians this past weekend at the Sony Open, and then also to see one of them right in there, including, I think a lead after 2 days. Corey Connors had a serious weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guy got married in the fall, and he's had his best two results and best two paydays in his life since getting married. So nice timing for that by Corey Connors. But when you go 64-64 on Saturday and Sunday on the PGA Tour, you're usually going to climb that leaderboard pretty nicely. And that's exactly what Corey did. Ended up tied for third, climbed into the top 200 in the world. First time he's done that. He's pretty much secured full playing privileges on the PGA Tour for next year, which is great. And he's just kind of knocking on the door. He's doing all the right things. He's pretty well cut from the same cloth as Mackenzie Hughes, another young Canadian. They went to school together. They've been on the Golf Canada program together for a number of years. And they do a lot of the same stuff. And Mackenzie, of course, has already won on the PGA Tour. And it just seems like Corey is next in line. One of eight who played last week. And that's the most ever at a non-Canadian Open. Eight Canadians on the PGA Tour this year, technically nine if you count Grandelet, who's on a major medical extension, and technically 10 if you count Mike Weir. So wow. A lot of Canadians week in and week out to cheer for on the PGA Tour this year.
So walk us through Corey Connors' ascension here into these two biggest paydays of his life since the fall, because he's a name that's been around, and we've seen him at the RBC, and he's a guy that I think has gotten a lot of attention for how he drives the ball, if I'm correct, in terms of being a big distance guy. But what's taken... what's happened the last few years that's allowed him to get into this next echelon, so to speak?
Yeah, it's a great question. So Corey made a lot of noise a couple of years ago at the U.S. Amateur. He ended up making the finals. He was the runner-up there, lost in the finals. But because he made it that far, he got to qualify and play in the Masters. So he got to do that. He played in a couple of U.S. Opens as well. Like you said, he's played in a handful of RBC Canadian Opens. Played pretty well on the web.com tour, earned his PGA Tour card last year, was a rookie out there then, did a lot of learning, didn't finish as well as he would have wanted to, had two Sundays in a row when he was in the final group early on in the season, kind of fell down the leaderboard on the Sunday, unfortunately, but he's come into this year having learned so much, and this is a guy who has a degree in actuary mathematics. He is insanely smart, and I believe his minor, or he took a couple classes in wine appreciation as well while he was at school. So he's got a good combination of of smarts and a lot of different subject matters. So the fact that he's had this 1 year under his belt, and because he is so just smart in general on the golf course and off, it really is no surprise that he comes to these tournaments returning and has good results. So he's already earned $880,000 in just six events this year. He's about to go on a stretch of tournaments, all of which he's played before. So because he is so smart, and because he hits the ball such a long way, and he's got such a smooth action, his ball striking is just magical to watch. He's just the perfectly built PGA Tour player. And like I said a few minutes ago, it would not be a surprise to see him win sooner rather than later.
Okay, so you had noted Weir and Dillett, guys that we've seen a lot of success from in the past. Dillett hurt. Weir clearly in the twilight of his career, but will be eligible for some big events because of the success he had in the prime of his career. And we got a bunch of young guys, including guys that have graduated from web.com to the PGA. Who's the tier of the guys that you think can contend week in, week out on the PGA? Clearly Hadwin's got to be in that group with how he's done the last 2 years, but who else is in the mix there for you right now?
Yeah, I mean, Hadwin kind of goes without saying, Canada's top-ranked male golfer, and I think he's always going to be a contender. But we saw a flash of brilliance from Adam Svensson this week. The guy shot 9 under par, 61 on Thursday in Hawaii, kind of stumbled the next few days Couldn't really capitalize on how fast of a start he got on the Thursday, but that's just a guy who isn't afraid to go low. He won on the web.com tour last year, earned his PGA Tour card from that. So I think it's his first year as a pro, so a lot of learning for him is to come, but I think he's a guy that can go low at any time. So Adam Svensson for sure, Adam Hadwin, of course, and then you've got kind of this next tier of guys who are a little bit older, but they're either returning to the PGA Tour or trying it for the first time, that being Ben Silverman from Toronto. He's a winner on the web.com tour. Roger Sloan, he's from BC. He's been back and forth, PGA Tour, Web Tour, the last couple seasons. He's back on the PGA Tour as well. And then there's Mackenzie Hughes, a winner on the PGA Tour, became a father for the first time last year, so there was a lot of adjustments going on off the golf course. But he told me the other day that he's feeling better than ever, and he's excited to get back out there as well.
Okay, we've finished up the Hawaii leg. What's coming up next, and who do you like as the tour swings through California?
Yeah, so we've got this very unique event this week, the Desert Classic, where they play, the three different golf courses, and the guys just go incredibly low week after week. Mike Weir has actually won this event in the past, but what's funny? I really like Adam Hadwin this week. This is an event where 2 years ago he shot 59 at one of the golf courses. Last year he had a top five finish. The year before, the year that he did shoot the 59, finished runner up. So he just feels super comfortable on the set of golf courses, I should say. And he's coming into the week off of a pretty good finish at the Sony Open. So I really like Adam Hadwin this week. You can't look past the defending champion in John Rahm. I think he's just another one of these young, early 20s guys that's going to be contending for years and years to come. And then you've got someone like Phil Mickelson. He's making his debut in 2019 this week, and he's always a contender at this tournament as well. So it's a nice mix of young generation guys who are going to be around for a long time and kind of older generation guys who have already been around for a long time, but have shown that they can contend week in and week out as well.
Yeah, and you noted it, the quirky event. I believe the cut comes after three rounds, not two. Yeah. They all play the same course on the Sunday, but otherwise they rotate. Unusual to be sure, and not necessarily the most star-studded field we'll see in the next few months.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've got Justin Rose in there. We've got a few, committed winners, major champions on the PGA Tour. But I think this field is kind of a microcosm of the PGA Tour season as a whole for this year. The schedule is going to be quick. It's going to be a sprint to September and the FedEx Cup playoffs. Everything's kind of moved around. Things and guys are going to be playing different kinds of schedules like they played in the past. Adam Hadwin, for example, hasn't really ever played the Sony Open, but he did last week, and he's going to have a bit of a different schedule for this year. And of course, we've got the Canadian Open that happens in June, which kind of feels like it's right around the corner, a good 6 or so weeks earlier than it has been in almost a decade.
Okay, and on the ladies' side, the LPGA is set to get going, and all eyes on Brooke Henderson, certainly in North America, after that sensational season she had, including capturing that Women's CP Open, our national championship that you covered so well and was such a great moment in Canadian history. What's the forecast for her this year? Is she still so young and so already accomplished in her sport?
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. She's 21 years old, and this year she has a chance to become the all-time winningest Canadian professional golfer, male or female, of all time. The current mark is 8 wins held by 3 people, Sandra Post, George Knudsen, and Mike Weir. Henderson already has 7 professional wins.
Wow.
She's got a good chance to win at least once this year, if not twice, if not more. I talked to her in December in Florida. I just talked to her on the phone this week as well, and she's itchy to get back out there. She loves to compete. She loves to play. The LPGA Tour schedule is such that there's enough breaks in there that she will likely play every week, at least 30 out of the 35 events. I would argue this year's Women's Open, CP Women's Open, is in Toronto, so she'll have a lot of Ontario support. Smith Falls is not that far from Toronto, so I think that'll be fun for her. It's just a matter of if she can make putts, and she's admitted to me many, many times that – what she's had to work on is pace, is speed. She wants to get that right. The more, the better pace she has, the more putts she's going to make, the lower her scores are going to be, the more chance she's going to have to win. So she hits the ball farther than most men. It's absolutely incredible to watch her hit the driver. Her iron game has improved significantly over the past couple of years. She doesn't really think all that much about history, but pretty much every time she's got a chance, every time she tees it up this year, she's got a chance to knock off a little bit of Canadian history. So it's going to be super fun to watch her try to do that this year.
Great catching up, Adam. We'll do it again in the near future. Fun to have the PGA back with the regular names. Thanks for joining us.
100%, man. Thanks.